Greetings, all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're now in lesson 274, and we are now in the book of Hebrews, a letter that was written to the Hebrews, that is, to the people of Israel, by the Apostle Paul. And we read in verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, speaking about God himself, the God of Israel that came later on in the flesh is Jesus Christ. He is the one that spoke it through David. He's quoting, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion or the day of provocation. You see? Well, this is God who is saying that to Israel, not to behave in that manner. And you read it in the Psalms. You see? And he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, because that's what they've done. No matter what God did for them, whatever trials, that is miracles and signs and wonders, though they were going through trials, he delivered them always. He fed them. You see, he helped them cross the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptian army. And still, they constantly hardened their hearts. And so he's saying later on, in David, through the Psalms, you read this instruction here to his people, admonition. Don't follow the example of your forefathers. So he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. So who is the one talking here? God. You see? And God is called the Holy Spirit because he is. Holy Spirit is referred to as such in many places. This is just one place. And you read that, you know, when you go to the Psalms, you find that out. And those who have been raised on the truth, on the law of God, on righteousness, they're not confused. They know that. You see? And what happens when the pagans come aboard? Well, they bring their own ideas because they've had the Trinity many centuries before that, thousands of years before that. That concept was there. And so, in their ignorance and blindness, not understanding, they injected this third being, non-existent third being. In other words, use the power of God and personalize that. It's just some people go to the Proverbs, read about wisdom, they personalize that because the way it was written there was a sort of a metaphor, as if it is a lady, you know, wisdom, she, referred to as she, and so forth. People get confused. Well, God told Cain, what happened to your brother Abel? He said, the blood of your brother Abel cries from the ground. What does that mean? The blood talks. You see? That's a metaphor. And that's what confuses people, because they're ignorant. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. But this Holy Spirit is God himself. He said, you have tried me. You have tested me. And you saw my work 40 years. Therefore, I was angry. You know, I, the Holy Spirit, was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart and they have not known my ways. They're the ways of God. They're the ways of the world. They're the ways of Cain. They're the ways of the devil. And most people would rather walk in them. And those ways are called the broad way. You see? That's what Jesus Christ said. Only the few are willing to walk in the narrow path, in the straight path. But the majority, they'll walk in the broad way. And so he said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Speaking by the generation in the wilderness that rebelled against him. And this is something that later on David wrote. You read it in the Psalms, you see, Psalm 95. And then verse 12, it says, that's the Apostle Paul is warning the Hebrews who had known these statements. They've read them. They sing them in the temple. So he tells them, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. That's the Holy Spirit that was speaking to them, who warned them, and he spoke through David. This is what they've done in the past. And that was a warning of David in his day, to his generation, you see. And for those who would come later on, don't follow that example, the bad example of our forefathers. And so he says, but exhort one another, that is encourage, strengthen, admonish one another daily, while it is called today, before it's too late, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You see? You depart from God, you walk in your own ways, you become lawless. And Paul says, do not become lawless. Don't be disobedient to the Torah. Don't allow lawlessness against the Torah, transgression of the Torah, to harden your heart where you don't care about the ways of God anymore. So he's teaching his own people, he's teaching the Gentiles the same message. Obedience to the law of God, you see, obedience to the doctrine of Christ, following Christ, allowing Christ to live his life in you, who is the God of Israel, who is the Holy Spirit, you see, who is a lawgiver, who gave it to Moses. And that's the message he's been preaching. That's not the message that you hear when you go to so-called Christianity, you see, because they simply are not the followers either of God or Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul or the Scriptures. They injected their own ideas, their own concepts, the paganized, the true religion of God. They brought all the paganism into it, and one of the first things they've done is reject the law of God. And when you do it, you have no wisdom, because a good understanding, as David would say, have all they that do his commandments. You see? What happens when you don't do his commandments? Well, you lose your understanding. Then you have to invent your own. That's exactly what they've done. That's what happened to the rabbis too, when they departed from obedience to the law of God and began to interpret it to fit their own circumstances, and they still do it to this very day. Well, they began to lose understanding. And they got to the point where basic things were lost. Verse 14, it says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. He's repeating that. What is rebellion? God gives you commandments, a way of life, and you rebel against it. And so he's warning the Hebrews, don't follow in that footsteps. And he warned the Gentiles, don't do it either. You see, once you've been taught the law of God, you should walk in it, because otherwise Christ is not going to be formed in you and you will have no salvation. Verse 16, for who having heard rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? That is an older generation. Because the younger one, not that they were much more obedient, they too had their problems, but at least they were willing to be a little bit more obedient than their parents, so they made it into the land, and it was by the grace of God that they made it into the land. God could have destroyed all of them. And so he says in verse 17, now with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, that is, transgressed the law, whose corpses fell in the wilderness, a whole generation, those who were 20 and above? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? And what's the rest he's talking about? Entering into the land of Israel was entering into rest. And rest and Sabbath are the same word in Hebrew. That's what he's talking about here. You see? Because at the end of time, the end of the 6,000 years, Jesus Christ is returning to this earth, the God of Israel, and he's going to reign 1,000 years, and that's symbolic of the Sabbath. You see? And so he's linking these two. The weekly Sabbath, you see, and the millennial Sabbath, which both are days of rest, you see. And the rest is talking about resting from sin, from iniquity, from transgression, and in the days where Jesus Christ is going to reign upon this earth, humanity is not going to be rebellious and lawless as they are today, you see. So he's talking about the Sabbath, the weekly one, and the millennial one, and the symbolic Sabbath that the children of Israel entered into, you see, after the wilderness. So all these three are linked. And so it says, so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And that goes for every single one of us. If we are rebellious against the law of God, and keeping the Sabbath is one of them, not Sunday, that's not Sabbath, that's Sunday, you see. Just because people call it Sabbath doesn't make it a Sabbath. Just because people call Friday a Sabbath doesn't make it a Sabbath. Just because, you know, people may call Wednesday or Tuesday or any other day. Or some people say, well, you can worship God any day. Of course you can and you should. It has nothing to do with the Sabbath. That was a day that God sanctified from creation. Not Sunday, not Friday, not any other day. So what happens when people are rebellious and want to go in their own way? Well, they come up with their own agenda and their own theology. You see, which is not theology, because theology is a study of God. You see? Well, they're not studying God. They're studying the God of this world, you know, the devil. You see? That's another theology. That's another gospel, as Paul said. You know, anybody who's going to preach another gospel, which is not another gospel, because there is only one and all the rest are lies. You see, gospel means good tidings. The others are not good tidings. They're a bunch of lies. And the whole world, unfortunately, walks in into this very day, with the exception of the very few. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since the promise remains of entering his rest, that is his Sabbath, that's a millennial Sabbath, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, he said, the gospel, that is the good tidings, was preached to us as well as to them. They too were told, you see, that if you obey God, if you walk in his path and commandments, you will enter into the millennium Sabbath, not only enter into the land while they were in the wilderness, but while they were in the land, and this is in the days of David that this was written, where everybody was already in the land, you see. Now he's talking David, being inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, to speak about the millennial rule of the kingdom of God on this earth, where God is going to return on this earth, and at that time, he's going to be king over all the earth, not just the people of Israel. That's the Sabbath he's talking about, you see. And that's one of the reasons why we keep the weekly Sabbath, which is pointing toward the time when God is going to be on this earth reigning, and all his children, all the earth, is going to be under his rule, and they're going to be at peace, they're going to rest, no war. No bloodshed, no crime, no conflict, you see, no terror, no oppression and affliction, no poverty and sickness and disease. They shall not hurt in all of his holy mountain, you see. None shall do any evil. So that's what he's talking about here, the Sabbath, the ultimate Sabbath. And those who have contempt for the weekly Sabbath certainly are not going to be there. It's as simple as that. And they can call themselves all they want Christians. You cannot despise the law of God. And this is one of the first laws that he gave to humanity, not to the Jews, to humanity, in the Garden of Eden. Before he even created man, he created the Sabbath. And then, in other words, you know, man was created at the end of Friday, but before he created, you know, the human family, that is, not man. Man was there on Friday, and then Eve. But he gave them the Sabbath. They entered into the Sabbath, you see. And they rested on the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath. And then when they transgressed against God, well, the descendants began to depart from this law of keeping the Sabbath. And so they do to this very day, the majority of them. And so he says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. The word of God has been there since that time. God talks about his Sabbath. People read it. They have no faith. They're not being obedient. They don't keep it. Just like the children of Israel. You see? They were not willing to listen to the good news. And in our day, and since the days of Christ, since the days of the Apostle Paul, the good news is that those who endure until the end, obedient to God, shall inherit the Sabbath. Shall enter into the kingdom, shall be in the millennial rule of Jesus Christ, shall be upon this earth as the saints, you see, spirit beings. What happens when you have no faith? Well, you don't keep the weekly Sabbath, you don't obey the laws of God, you're not going to be in this 1,000-year rule. That's why it says in Revelation, the rest of the dead, those who walked in lawlessness, live not until the 1,000 years are over. They are not going to be in the Sabbath. Just like the children of Israel, who did not make it into the land. They are going to be resurrected in the second resurrection, 1,000 years after the reign of Jesus Christ on this earth, which is the Sabbath. And then they are going to have their opportunity there to do it right. You see? So for those who want to enter into the kingdom of God, since that time, they must be obedient to the law of God. Or else they wouldn't be in that period of time of reign on this earth of Jesus Christ. You see, they will come later, after that. Well, some would say, you know, who, so what? You know, what difference does it make? Well, as Paul said, there is a better resurrection with greater rewards And those who are not going to be in it are going to have a lesser reward for eternity. That's what makes a difference. Of course, at this point, some people couldn't care less. But then, God is not speaking to people like that at this point. And so he says, those people did not have faith. They heard it, but they had no faith. You see? So they all died. Verse 3 said, for we who have believed do enter that rest, as he said, that is God, that is the Holy Spirit, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. So it's contrasting the rebellion of their forefathers, who did not enter into the land, with the rebellion of Israel since that day, who are not going to be in the in the sabbatical rule, you see, the 1,000-year period, which is the Sabbath, because it's the seventh day, you see, prophetically speaking. You know, 6 days, man is doing his work, and the seventh, God is going to do his work on this earth. That's a 1,000-year period. And so it says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh, not the eighth, which is Sunday, or the first, and not the sixth, which is Friday, as Islam keeps it, but on the seventh. That law was given to humanity. Before there was such a thing as so-called Christianity, or Islam, or Judaism, or anything else. Seventh day. Why do people rebel against that? Because they have another spirit in them. They're obedient to another God, the God of this world. They're children of disobedience. And they come up with all the reasonings why they do this or do that. Well, you stand before God and giving those kind of foolish reasonings, where would you stand at that day? And so it says, God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and Christ told us that we should follow in his footsteps. Take our cross and follow in his footsteps. And keeping the Sabbath is one of them. Because oftentimes we live in a society that is rebellious against the law of God and hates that day and calls it Jewish, you see, and afflicts those people who keep it. I tell them, you don't work on the Sabbath, you don't get a job. Well, that's a part of carrying the cross, trusting in God that he will provide you a job in spite of that, when you follow in his footsteps. So if we do not follow in his footsteps, we are not of his. It's simple as that. We're declaring by our rebellion against the law of God, and the Sabbath keeping is one of them, one of the major ones. That's in the 10 oracles, the 10 big ones. Remember the Sabbath day, not Sunday, not Friday. Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Why? Because God sanctified it and he rested on that day from all of his works, and therefore we must do likewise. Some people ask in their foolishness, what would Jesus do? This is what he did. How many people are willing to follow it? He called himself the Lord of the Sabbath, not the Lord of Sunday. You see? So by being deceitful and calling a day that is not the Sabbath, the Sabbath day, that's all you are, just deceitful, willfully. You see, you ought to know better because you know the word of God and you rebel against it anyway. So are the children of Israel, and that's what he's telling the Hebrews. Don't be like that. And so he's saying to every single one of us who's listening, who is not keeping the Sabbath. You see, God rested on the Sabbath day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter into my rest because they were not willing to be obedient to God. So they're not going to enter into the land of Israel for the children of Israel. And then in the days of David, that was not the issue. The issue was the millennium. You know, as it is called later on, the Sabbath, where Christ is going to reign upon this earth, you see, and all of his saints with him, wherever he is, he's going to be on this earth, king over all the earth. As you read in Zechariah, last chapter 14, in that day, verse 9, I believe, the Lord shall be king over all the earth, and his name shall be one. There isn't going to be any more deception and confusion. You know, the God of the Jews, the God of the Christians, and the God of Islam, you see, and the God of, you know, the Buddhists and the Shintoists and so forth. A lot of confusion, Babylon on this earth. God commands us to come out of it. So he says, verse 6, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, you see. So he says, you know, we're not talking about that event where Israel did not enter, because obviously that's a long time ago, already happened, everybody's in the land. So he's saying now, we're talking about another time, another period. And so it says, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said. You see, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. That is, Joshua who led them into the land of promise, and Joshua and Yeshua, you know, the Savior, that's the same name. And his name was changed to Joshua, his name was Hoshea, you see, save us. And Moses changed his name to Yeshua, God the Savior, because it was symbolic. And God told him to change his name. He didn't do it on his own, he had no reason to do it on his own, because Joshua was symbolic of the Jesus that is coming later on, and that's the same name. That's all it means, Joshua and Jesus, you see, signifying the time when God is going to bring his people into his Sabbath, into his reign of 1,000 years. But if people are disobedient, reject the law of God, and the Sabbath is one of them, they aren't going to be there, just like the wilderness generation. They did not enter into the land, even though they left Egypt, didn't do them any good. And so it is for the Hebrews, as Paul says, and so it is for everyone who follows God. You either follow God or you follow the devil, you cannot be in between, or, you know, mix the two. And so it says there, in verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God, speaking about the future, the millennium, which is called the Sabbath. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Just like God did, you do likewise. You keep the Sabbath, the weekly Sabbath, you're obedient to the law of God, you will be in the millennial Sabbath, you see, as a saint and a servant of God at that time. You're going to be a spirit being, not a human being anymore. But there are going to be human beings upon this earth, left, you know, from the generation of the tribulation, and they're going to multiply and fill the face of the whole earth. And the job of the saints is to teach all humanity righteousness, you know, all nations of the earth, to worship God, to keep his Sabbath, his holidays, his laws, his statutes, his judgments, his precepts. That's the doctrine of Christ. That's the law of God. You see, that's not what the world is doing. And certainly not the religion that calls itself Christianity, which is anything but follower of Christ. They've got to find a false Christ that they follow. And so it says in verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. And so you see the Apostle Paul constantly is emphasizing the obedience to the law of God, to the Torah, you see, to the Word of God. That's the word of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Spirit that he's talking about, as we read in, you know, 2 Corinthians. The Lord is that Spirit. And people today do their own things. They've been doing it since the beginning of time, including the children of Israel. Most of them do not even know that they are the children of Israel. They lost their identity. They think of themselves as Gentiles. They're mostly in the mold of Christianity. Some of them are still in the back east. And so they are in the religion of Islam. You see, in either case, they're rebellious against the law of God. And the majority of people of Judah who are known today as Judah, and the remnant who are still known, because most of them are not even known as Judah, they too, many of them lost their identity. And most of them disobey the law of God. That's why all those, you know, sufferings and miseries that they have in the land of Israel. And just today I heard in the news about a protest of the religious Jews in a city in Israel, Kfar Saba. And the reason why they do, because they decided, the people in the town, because of the economy, to do business on the Sabbath. You see? Well, these people realize the consequences of doing that. We've had a long history, you see, the children of Israel knowing and experiencing what happens when people disobey God and desecrate his Sabbath. He brought great punishment on them, and ultimately captivity. So in the short, you know, people think, well, we're going to do well, so who cares? So they make money for a while, and after that, what? They get crushed anyway, you see? And they don't realize that. And that's what Paul is talking about, the disobedience that was even in his day in the Jewish community. And even a lot of people in his day were not that particularly religious. Some people think everybody was religious at the time. They were not, you see? Disobedience has always been there among the children of Israel. and especially as time went by. And so it is to this very day. Well, the majority of God's people today are not religious. You see, the people of Israel, who are in Europe, northwestern Europe, or most of the Europeans are Israelites, and in the Americas, you know, those who came from Europe, you see, the British Isles, Australia, wherever they are, most of them are not religious. And those who are religious are in the wrong religion, you see. And even the Jews, who are and should have been faithful to the religion of Israel, the religion that Judah kept for a long time while Israel departed from the faith, well, they too. Even the religious people among them who keep the Sabbath, they've got their own ideas there, and a lot of do's and don'ts are not of God, and quite a bit of paganism and superstition there, and mysticism there, you see. The doctrine of heaven and hell is just one of them, many other things. All this disobedience everywhere, unfortunately, and Paul talks about obedience to the law of Moses, to the law of Jesus Christ that he gave Moses, you see. And he's warning the Hebrews at the time, who were in the faith, as well as all of his people. He's not speaking only to those in the church, so to speak, but to all of them. It's an open letter. That's like James sent an open letter to the 12 tribes of Israel scattered abroad. And Peter wrote to the dispersion, you see. Dispersion, that means to the Israelites that were in exile. That included the Jews, included all the children of Israel who were beyond the Euphrates at the time. Many of them were. So that's what he's saying here. And to every single one of us, anybody who wants to listen to God, that's a warning to all of us. He says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Because if we follow in their example, we'll end up, you know, reaping the same results they did. They all died in the wilderness, never made it into the land. Verse 12, for the word of God, he said, is living. It's not a dead word. A lot of people look at the Bible, and it's just a bunch of dead words, just words, doesn't mean anything to me. Oh no, he says, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So nobody can kid God. Nobody can play games. You see? And we all do, by nature. Always excuse ourselves, justify ourselves. Why we believe what we believe? Well, you know, we don't think we have to keep the Sabbath, you know, because that's for the Jews or whatever. You know, we keep Sunday because, you know, that's the Lord's day, you know, and he rose on Sunday, and all these lies and deceptions. You see, we can play all those kind of games, not before God. The Word of God made it very plain. God rested on the seventh day. We are to follow in His footsteps, and He commanded us. That's why He said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? If you love me, keep my commandments. He didn't command you to keep Sunday. You see, you can play all the games that you want if you are a rebel against the law of God. Your fate is just like that of the children of Israel. You see, you're going to enter into the kingdom of God as a dead body, not a living one, because you have chosen a way of death, not a way of life. You see, and that's what he's saying here. You can't play games with the word of God. It knows exactly, you know, what goes on in your heart and mind, because it's a living word. My word is spirit, as Christ said. And he is the word of God. He's the epitome of it. And that's how he lives his life in us, not through the pagan religion or teachings, but through the law of his Father, the God of the heaven and the earth, who is going to be all and in all. You see, what religion do you think he's going to bring when he comes upon this earth and becomes all and in all? And so he says in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from his sight. Nobody can hide from him, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We are all going to give account. What have we done with his law? What kind of life have we lived? You see? Nobody's going to escape that day of wrath and judgment. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, who is also the God of Israel, is also referred to as the Holy Spirit, who is also the one who is coming to redeem Israel and take Israel back to himself, this time purged and purified without sin. They're not going to be rebellious anymore. You see, shortly before that, the tribulation will be upon them, the day of the Lord. and the majority are going to be put to death, literally. Only about 10% of them are going to be left, and they're going to be purged and purified, and every single one of them is going to be in the yes sir attitude, no more playing games, you see. And so they're going to be in the land, and they're going to have this high priest who is going to reign on this earth for 1,000 years, and they're going to become the light of the world, and they're going to fulfill the purpose for which God married them and called them to begin with, to be a light to the nations, the mother of all mankind. And through that marriage that he's going to have with Israel, all the children are going to be born, which are all the nations of the earth. That was a plan from the beginning, from the days of Abraham. And so, as I said to him, you know, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's not only Jesus Christ, who is the head, the center of it, you see, but all of Israel, the wife, and through this marriage is going to have all these children, so all the children of the earth are going to be blessed in it. And so it says, this Son of God, who is Jesus Christ, he is our high priest, you see. He said, because of that, let us hold fast our confession. Confession of what? You see, when you confess that God is true, you confess that his religion is true, his law is true, you walk in it. And by obedience, you confess that you are a genuine servant of God, not by your disobedience and the concoction of another religion and lies and deceptions, being a member of the great whore and the harlots, Babylon. You don't confess that way that Jesus is Lord when you do away with his law. You see, you're saying that the devil is Lord because you're keeping his day. That's when the people, the pagans, you know, kept Sunday. And for that matter, the children of Israel, when they departed from God, they went into idolatry, they too began to keep Sunday. Worship the sun. You see, and some of them did both. We have historic records of the children of Israel keeping both days, Sunday and the Sabbath. Sabbath for God, Sunday, you know, for another God, just to be on the safe side. So it says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Verse 15, let's backtrack. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He knows how it feels. He knows how it feels. You see, he suffered a lot when he was in the flesh. He knows how it feels when you walk in righteousness and people hate you for it. He knows how it feels when every single one of us who may have a problem keeping the Sabbath and the world around us desecrates the Sabbath. They do not want to keep it. And they tell you, you don't work on the Sabbath, you don't have a job, you can't feed your family. What are you going to do about that? You see, he knows how it feels. This is going to take care of us one way or the other. That'd be the best job. So what? It's just temporary. You see, what is more important? Presently, you know, having all the glory of this earth, or in the future eternity? Now, if God chooses to give us another job that is just as good or better, that's something else, but he doesn't always do that. You see, so I have to live with whatever he gives us, even if we have to live sometimes in a little bit of poverty, or maybe a lot of poverty. But we have maintained our crown of glory. We haven't given up, you know, the crown of glory for, you know, like Esau, for a bowl of soup. And that's what people do when they work on the Sabbath, for a bowl of soup. They are selling their inheritance. And so he says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. You know, any weakness, not only that, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without transgression. Without transgression against the Torah. You see? That's our example. He's our role model. What would Jesus do? He would never transgress the Torah. And if you do, you can play all the games that you want to, that you follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, and therefore you call yourself a Christian, you're a liar. You see? Anybody who calls himself a Christian and does not follow in his footsteps is a liar. As John said, by this we know that we love him when we keep his commandments. And all those, he said, who do not keep his commandments are liars, and the truth is not in them. As simple as that. That's what Paul is talking about. So don't play games, he said with him. He did not sin, he did not transgress the Torah of his father, neither should we. You see? That's why only very few are willing to walk in the narrow path, and very only few find the straight path, the narrow road, and walk in it. The majority like to walk in the Broadway where life is easy. You don't have to obey God there. You do your own thing, you see, and then you roll with the punches. Because God is not going to be there to bless you. He's going to allow, you know, all kind of evil to come upon you. Or whatever good that you get in this world, you know, just like thieves and robbers, you know, so what? They go and rob a bank, they have a lot of money, and they live on high, and then what? You see? And most of humanity want to live that way, and that's what the devil was trying to get Jesus Christ to do. He said, all you have to do is just bow down before me, and I'll give you all the glory of the nations. Well, that's what the world goes after. Because they have no faith. They couldn't care less about the future. Well, we have a choice. To be like Christ without sin, without transgression of the Torah, or to be like the devil and be children of disobedience, you see, and end up in utter destruction. Verse 16, he said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If we're being persecuted because we keep the Sabbath or because we eat only clean food, we go to a restaurant, you know, everything is there, it's just lobster and ham and, you know, all kind of things like that, and he says, sorry, you know, we can't eat. And they say, well, that's the only thing we have. So he said, well, we'd rather go hungry than eat that, you know, garbage. That, you know, I mean, it's not garbage, you know, God created it, but it's vomit in terms of, you know, the people of God. It shouldn't be eaten, you see. I'll go somewhere else, you know, eat, you know, a salad, you know, it's something that is not as appetizing or nourishing or exciting, things like that. But I'd rather do that than eat unclean food, you know, and bring unclean things to my lips. You see, as Ezekiel was told by God to do certain thing, and that was not even eating unclean food. It was just, you know, cooking his food with human waste. That was an example to Israel, and he protested to God. He said, I've never had any unclean thing, you know, come into my mouth. You know, how can I do a thing like that? You see, or is that vision that Peter had, rise and kill, you know, the animals that he saw, the unclean animals. And he says, no, Lord, no way. I'm going to do it because that's against your law. And of course, God, at that point, was not talking about animals. Peter just did not understand it. And then he understood. He's talking about human beings, the Gentiles. You should not call them unclean if God has called them and is dealing with them. You see, that was the issue there. But in other case, you see, he was not about to transgress the law of God. And so that's the example for all of us. And Jesus Christ is going to help us in that time of need, when we have a need. And when we have a need, when we're in trouble, we can come boldly to the throne of God because we want to obey His Torah, and yet the world makes it very difficult for us. But we cannot come boldly to the throne of grace if we're disobedient. If we're rebels against His law, He's not going to listen to us. Simple as that. Chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God. You see? You know, pertaining to God, the lawgiver, the ultimate, the head of the family, not to another religion, another God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, for transgression against the Torah of God. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, that is, away from the law of God, since he himself is also subject to weakness. You see, the weakness of the flesh, of pressure all around us to disobey the law of God. Because of this, he is required for the people, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sacrifices for sins, transgression of the law. You notice how much the Apostle Paul talks about the Torah, or the transgression against the Torah. The entirety of his ministry was around this subject, you see. Because Jesus Christ is the Torah, he's the epitome of it, he was obedient to it unto death. So for people to say, well, you know, I follow Christ, but I don't care much about the Torah, that's an oxymoron. It's impossible. He and the Torah are one. You see? That's why he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's the Torah. You have no life in you. You can kid yourself all you want that you are my followers. You're lawless, men of iniquity, get out of here. That's what he's going to say to everybody. I never knew you. That's why Paul has to constantly preach the Torah, and that's all he did. When you preach Christ, you're preaching the Torah, you see. And when you're preaching the Torah, you're preaching Christ. That's him. He's the epitome of it. And so he says, and no man takes this honor to himself. You cannot just appointment. You have a self-appointment, you know, well, I'm going to be the priest of God. Oh, no. If God didn't call you to that office, you're not going to be there. If God didn't call you to the ministry, you have no business being there. And yet a lot of people like to appoint themselves as ministers. Or they just say, well, the Lord put in my heart to go and be a minister. You see? And there are actually even advertisements on the radio. I hear it now and then. You know, if you feel restless, maybe God is calling you to the ministry. You see? And they're deceiving people because they're going to teach them a mixture of truth and error so they can go and spread it around. You see? That's not of God. That's of the devil. And they don't realize that they are the ministers of the devil who appear as ministers of righteousness. You see? You don't teach the Torah, you are not of God. It's as simple as that. And that's what he's saying here. And no man takes this honor to himself, because that's the law of God, but he who is called by God. You are not called by God, have no business being there. You know, do you whatever you know you have to do in life, but don't do the things that God has not called you to do. Don't self-appoint yourself. Don't deceive yourself either, and don't delude yourself, because a lot of people do that too. That's how all the false prophets came about, pretending that God was dealing with them and then deceiving people that that was the case and leading them astray. And so he said, nobody can be in that office but he who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Today not only, you know, men want to get into that office that God didn't call them, you know, women too. You see? And according to the law of God, only men were called into the ministry, you see, to stand before him in terms of the priesthood and Levites, and after that, you know, all the people that God ordained to be preachers to the people, they were men, and he called women to be in positions of deaconesses, you know, helpers with the ministers, but not the preachers, you see. And yet people, you know, want to do their own thing, be it men or women. And he says, no man, no man, no woman, no man, nobody takes this honor to himself or to herself, but he or she, you see, I'm adding the she, it's not there, who is called by God, just as Aaron was. Simple, very plain. That's the law. That's the Torah. How many people want to believe it? Oh, no. They have to justify because of their own agenda and twist the scriptures to their own destruction and deceiving many others, being deceived themselves, because they want it. When you want something so bad, you know, you'll come up with all kind of excuses and reasons to get it. And you couldn't care less about God. You don't fear God to begin with. You just want to do your own thing. And so he says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. Christ didn't take it upon himself. He waited for the Father to give it to him. And yet some people think that they can do it otherwise. As he also says in another place, you are the priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. And you can read it again in the Psalms, Psalm 95. And that's reality, he says. We must obey the law of God in every aspect, be it leadership, you see, be it the keeping of the law, you see, be it on a personal basis, in anything that we do in life, we must obey the law. We cannot be transgressors or else we would not be in that Sabbath, that day of rest, which God will give only to those who are obedient to him, not the rebels. In verse 7 we read, who in the days of his flesh, speaking about Christ, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. He feared God, he obeyed God. He never disobeyed God. Verse 8 we read, an example of our Savior, our King, our God, our Creator, our Ruler. You see, the coming Messiah, the Savior of Israel and of all mankind. An example that we should follow. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That's another role model of the so-called Christians that say, well, I'm just going to live by faith. I don't need to obey the law of God. Law of God, you know, is Jewish, you know, belongs to the God of the Old Testament, you know, all those harsh rules and regulations, you see. I just live by faith, by grace. Christ did it for me. You see, that's a message of the devil, not of God. You see, you want to follow it? Yeah, that's your choice. God gives you that choice. But you cannot determine what is the truth. God is going to determine that, and the truth is that if you do not obey the Torah of God, which he gave, from the Garden of Eden, codified it in Sinai for all of Israel, because Israel was going to be the wife and to bear children. The children were going to be all the nations of the earth. It was supposed to be the light of the world, to teach them the Torah of God, the nature of God, the character of God. Not lies and deceptions, as they still do to this very day. And that's what basically the missionaries are doing all over the place. And have been doing it for the past many centuries. Spreading a mixture of truth and a lot of error in it. And that's not of God. God is not in it. You know, they all died in vain, worked in vain, have produced all those things in vain. And when they all come before Christ, and all those who follow them, Christ will tell them, I never knew you. Because you are lawless. That's why. Yet Jesus Christ gave us an example. He was obedient unto death. You see, and he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. How many of us are willing to follow him? Many of us have excuses why we should disobey the law of God. And we'll stop at this point again. This is Mordecai Joseph. Greetings to all.